Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's November 25th, 2024, and that means there's only 1 month left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll take a look back at the event that's the unofficial kickoff to the Christmas season, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We'll also give you a tip on how to put a little Blitzen in your breakfast. And Mike from the Advent Calendar House podcast stops by to help us celebrate Muppetvember with his 5 golden things. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, Yule Believers, to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and guy who is most thankful this year that Christmas is coming soon, Tim Babb. It's officially time to play the music, it's time to string the lights, it's time to start the celebrating, because it's Christmas time tonight! So if you are listening to this while you're doing your Christmas decorating, I'll give you something to look forward to tomorrow morning with our first segment, We Need a Little Christmas. Now.
We need a little Christmas now.
Breakfast is said to be the most important meal of the day. It really gets you started in the morning, right, Chef?
Ader hoppin' hop under, machinin' is go under floomy floomy.
Exactly. But breakfast is not the primary meal people think about on Christmas Day. It's more about the turkey and the stuffing and even the snacks and the appetizers, but I found a way to add a little Christmas to the first meal of the day.
Oh, Dad, are you going to talk about the special breakfast I made for you?
Oh, not today, Michael, but it was a super great breakfast, and what an ingenious way to make it Christmassy. I was going to have you on next time to talk about it. You up for that?
I'll have to check my schedule, call my agent, and my people will get back to you.
My son has an agent now? Well, that's something I'll have to unpack later, but for right now, let's get back to breakfast. As I was spending far too much time scrolling TikTok, as I often do, I came across a video by user It's Winter Wonderland that adds a little Christmas to your breakfast by making reindeer pancakes. It's fairly easy. What you do is fry up some bacon while you whip up a batch of your favorite pancake batter. Then you heat up your skillet and pour one big dollop, one medium-sized dollop, and two very tiny dollops. You fry them up into pancakes and you should have one big oval-shaped pancake, a medium-sized oval pancake, and two tiny oval pancakes. Then you set the big one on the plate first, then lay the medium pancake on top of the large one towards the bottom, so it's the bottoms are touching each other. This will represent the reindeer's snout. Then you put the two small pancakes on top of the big pancake so they look like the reindeer's ears. Then you position the bacon between the ears to look like antlers. Then you take two marshmallows for eyes, add a Hershey's Kiss for a nose, and voila! You've got a reindeer pancake. In case you're having trouble visualizing this, I did put a link to It's Winter Wonderland's TikTok video in the show notes, so that way you can see it and try these for yourself. And now we move on to our next segment, 5 Golden Things.
5 Golden Things.
All year, I'm turning my countdown feature over to the other talented and merry hosts of the Christmas Podcast Network. Last time, we had Art from A Cozy Christmas Podcast join us, and if you hadn't heard our October episode, I say you should get somewhere cozy and give it a listen, but not yet, because it's a special time of year on the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast that we like to call Muppetvember. You see, our first 2 November episodes, we talked about A Muppet Family Christmas and A Muppet Christmas Carol, respectively. Ever since, I've made sure we always have some Muppet content every November. And this month, to help with that, I've enlisted the help of a Christmas podcaster whose Muppet fandom exceeds even my own. So please, welcome to the Christmas Cave, all the way from the Advent Calendar House podcast, Mike!
Hello there, and Merry Muppetvember! I'm Mike Westfall from the Advent Calendar House, a salute to all holiday specials, but mostly the Christmas ones. If you're listening to this, there's a fair chance you take time every Christmas season to watch one or more movies or TV specials starring Jim Henson's Muppets. The Muppet Christmas Carol is one of the most beloved Dickens adaptations ever made. Emmett Otter and his jug band are finally getting the spotlight they deserve, The Christmas toy is a personal favorite of mine that I've watched yearly for almost four decades, and A Muppet Family Christmas is my favorite thing ever committed to film. But for my five golden things, I wanted to highlight some shows you may not watch every Christmas. These are, for the most part, all regular episodes of TV series, so you have to dig a bit deeper to find them on streaming services. But I've picked out a handful of my favorites to share, and I'll be sure to let you know where you can find each one. With that, here are five holiday episodes of TV shows starring Muppets.
Number five.
The Muppets.
I was trying to clear Beaker's sinuses when, lo and behold, I stumbled upon a Rudolph for a reindeer sketch.
Well... But, Bunsen, we don't have a reindeer sketch in the show.
Oh. Well, then it will just be for our holiday enjoyment. Right, Beaky?
Hey, remember when the Muppets had a mockumentary-style series in the style of The Office? Well, not enough people watched it, so we only got one season. But you can still watch it on Disney+, and Episode 10, Single All the Way, finds the gang working on a live Christmas show with their very special guest star from the actual Office, Mindy Kaling, who turns out can't sing well, but won't listen to anyone who's trying to tell her. Now, I rank this at number 5 because it continues some ongoing plot threads from previous episodes. Fozzie, who's supposed to play Santa Claus, is too depressed after his girlfriend leaves him. Miss Piggy tries to teach him her favorite way to cope with a breakup, buying a bunch of stuff. But she ends up telling him if he loves his ex so much, he should fight for her. And that makes her realize she never fought for Kermit, and now she's alone at Christmas. But don't let all that plot steer you away from giving this a watch. Single All the Way still looks and feels very Christmassy and very Muppety, featuring a gorgeous holiday set, Beaker in a dangerously electric red Rudolph nose, Sam the Eagle hopelessly trying to meet Janice under the mistletoe, Yolanda the Rat rigging the Secret Santa so everyone pulls her name, and my personal favorite Easter egg, the Swedish Chef wearing a St. Lucy's Day crown.
Number 4.
Bear in the Big Blue House.
We gotta get ready.
A little to the left.
Steady.
There's presents to be wrapped and on the wall.
Oh, we are having a very bear Christmas, and it's everybody's holiday.
A Berry Bear Christmas is a two-part episode from 1999. You can find part 1 on Disney Plus under Season 3, Episode 23, but part 2 doesn't seem to be officially streaming anywhere. So I have no reservations about telling you it's on YouTube. It's not hard to find. In these episodes, Bear and his friends are not only getting ready for Christmas, but they also learn about Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Bear's very favorite Yuletide tradition, finding a legendary wish-granting Winterberry. What I found interesting about this episode is their openness about visiting Santa at the mall. Bear explains that since Santa's up at the North Pole, very busy getting everyone's presents ready for Christmas, he might not actually be at the mall himself, but they can still visit one of his helpers. And visit they do. It's a whole song and dance number, and it's super fun. But the real star of these episodes is a new character, an adorable old Muppet hound dog named Jack, who has no home and is left out in the cold before Bear and his friends invite him to stay with them. Between their hospitality for a new friend in need and a fruitful end to their search for the Winterberry, this two-parter will give your heart a double dose of warm fuzzies.
Number 3.
Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock.
So gather round,
the closer round, each warm embrace on a night of delight.
If you subscribe to Apple TV Plus, you have got to check out the new series of Fraggle Rock. It's 2 seasons in with a 3rd on the way, and it is a delightful successor to the series I grew up with in the 80s. This special from 2022, Night of the Lights, makes the 14th and final episode of Season 1, in which the Fraggles brighten up the darkest night of the year by lighting up their caves with bright and colorful glow grapes. The Night of the Lights is a familiar enough holiday that includes gift-giving and wish-making, and when Wembley wishes to see the biggest, most magical light ever, the world's oldest Fraggle in the Rock tells them he's seen something like that. So our Fraggly friends find themselves on a quest to find that biggest, most magical light. In this special, we're treated to 2 spirited songs led by the traveling musician Fraggle Jamdalyn, who's voiced by David Diggs, and a postcard from Gobo's Uncle Traveling Matt showing a variety of silly creatures celebrating their own holiday traditions. And though the Fraggles end up getting lost in the dark along the way, They learn to embrace the darkness. As it turns out, even the biggest, most magical light in the sky needs that darkness in order to shine.
Number two.
Dinosaurs.
Oh, how the dinosaurs store stuff in this box. Food will keep cold and last a long, long time.
Okay, I'm cheating a little here. Not because dinosaurs is set millions of years before Christmas, but because they're not actually Muppets. But they are from Jim Henson's Creature Shop, so they're family. On Disney Plus, look up Season 2, Episode 5 of Dinosaurs, and you'll discover Refrigerator Day, a familiar holiday honoring the creation of the modern dino's greatest invention, a box that's cold inside so they could store food and not have to roam around the world just to eat. But the Sinclair family's fridge gets repossessed after Earl spends too much on his presents for his family and ends up not getting the Fridge Day bonus he was expecting from work, leaving the family having to remember the true meaning of their silly holiday by putting on a traditional Refrigerator Day pageant. Come for baby Sinclair declaring God bless us everyone and hitting his Not the Mama with a Tiny Tim crutch. Stay for the familiar commercial jingle for paint.
Wish you a Merry Fridge Day, we wish you a Merry Fridge Day, we wish you a Merry Fridge Day, so come in and buy paint.
Honorable mentions.
Sesame Street.
Oh, sir! Allow me to help carry your groceries home.
No, that's okay.
Oh,
I don't need any help.
Nonsense, happy to help. I am simply filled with the holiday spirit.
But I live that way.
Sesame Street has done over half a dozen Christmas specials and home videos over the last 55 years, but I was surprised to learn there wasn't an actual regular episode of the show dedicated to Christmas time until very, very recently. Holiday at Hooper's first aired in 2020. You can find it streaming on Max in season 51, episode 8 of Sesame Street. This episode finds Elmo and Baby Bear decorating Hooper's store for Christmas and Hanukkah, which Baby Bear's family celebrates, along with Kwanzaa and Three Kings Day. We also learn Oscar celebrates a grouch holiday called Crankymas, and Cookie Monster observes Snickerdoodle Day and Chocolate Chippy Day, two holidays he made up, because of course he did.
Number one.
Fraggle Rock.
I'm going to bring you the Great Bell of Fraggle Rock.
Why do you want to look for something that's so easily found?
So I can see it and show everybody that it really exists. So this holiday will mean something.
But Gobo, it already means something.
Along with Back to the Rock, Apple TV Plus is also the current streaming home of the original Fraggle Rock series from the 80s. That show's holiday special, The Bells of Fraggle Rock, is labeled Season 3, Episode 22 on Apple TV+, but Muppet Wiki says it was that season's first episode, premiering on Christmas Eve in 1984. This story takes place during the Festival of the Bells, when Fraggles merrily ring handbells to bring warmth to the coldest time of the year and keep the rock moving. But Gobo, for some reason, is very bah humbug about the whole thing. When I covered this on the Advent Calendar House, my friend Donnie compared Gobo in this episode to the guy from the song Christmas Shoes. And, well, he's not wrong. It turns out he's struggling with his belief in the Great Bell, which is said to be at the center of the rock. But as the musical Fraggle Cantus, performed by Jim Henson, explains, the Great Bell actually lies at the heart of the rock. It takes Gobo a long time to understand what Cantus means, and as a result, the entire rock and every Fraggle in it end up almost frozen. But when he finally figures it all out, both Gobo's heart and mine grew three sizes. If you enjoyed this segment, please join me on my podcast, The Advent Calendar House. I've got a brand new season of 12 episodes counting down to Christmas Eve ready to go, starting on December 2nd. My first episode is about another Muppet Christmas special, Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree, with guests Anthony Strand from Muppet fan site ToughPigs.com, as well as our very own Tim Babb. So I hope you'll join us on December 2nd at The Advent Calendar House, located conveniently at adventcalendar.house. And now back to our regularly scheduled whatever we were just doing.
Thank you, Mike. First, I really enjoyed talking with you about Mr. Willoughby's Christmas Tree, and I'm excited for other folks to hear it. And also, I'm so glad you mentioned the mockumentary Muppet Show from 2015. I love that show so much, and the Christmas episode specifically. I'm so bummed we lost it. Speaking of things we lost, a few days before I recorded this, Disney World announced they'd be closing Muppet Vision 3D, one of the last Muppet projects that Jim Henson personally worked on. I know it's not Christmas-related, but I'm very sad to see it go. So to cheer me up in these dark Muppet times, I'm going to keep the Muppet love going by letting the Muppets themselves introduce our feature segment today. Take it away, Scooter!
Okay, people! Today is Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade! This is gonna be great! Okay, let's see, we got balloons, floats, singers, dancers, dancing Christmas trees? Wait, dancing Christmas trees? Ah, yes, of course. What's Thanksgiving without the dancing Christmas trees? Well, looks like everything's ready.
Scooter, you forgot one thing.
What's that?
Cue the opening number!
Cue the opening number!
Stuff like you would never see.
Hey, it's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade,
starring everybody
and me.
There'll be jugglers, clowns, there'll be comedy,
and a lot of us that enter us happily.
Hey, it's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade,
starring everybody.
We'll take the moon and set it on its ear. Come on, join in. We're going to start right here.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. Why is a Christmas podcast doing a segment on the Thanksgiving Day Parade? That's a whole separate holiday, right? Well, aside from the fact that Santa Claus is the headliner of the parade and many people view it as the official start of the Christmas season, it actually has its origins in Christmas. And I thought this was the time to talk about it because this episode drops just days before the parade will celebrate its 100th anniversary. So, let's talk about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Winner of the Emmy Award for Outstanding Achievement in Production of Special Events, NBC proudly presents the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, a holiday treat for children everywhere, is coming to you live from New York City.
The first parade marched through the streets of New York City on November 27th, 1924, but it was not called the Thanksgiving Day Parade back then. You see, the origins of the parade were from Macy's expanding their store to take up a whole city block on 34th Street. Keep note of that street name, it'll come up later. To celebrate, Macy's decided to throw a parade to tout their store and kick off the holiday shopping season. So despite the fact that the parade was held on Thanksgiving Day, it was called Macy's Christmas Parade. See? I told you the parade had its roots in Christmas. In fact, it was called the Christmas Parade for almost the first decade of its existence. But it definitely looked a lot different that first year. You see, by this point, Macy's was already famous for its holiday window displays. At the time, they were designed by German puppeteer Tony Sarg.
I am Iron Man.
No. Not Tony Stark. Tony Sarg. You see, he was tapped as the artistic director of the parade, and he filled the parade with horse-drawn floats to match the theme of the window displays, which was nursery rhymes. So parade-goers got to see floats of the old woman who lived in a shoe, Little Miss Muffet, and Red Riding Hood. And the final float of the parade was Santa riding in his sleigh. At the end of the parade, Santa exited his sleigh, climbed up a ladder onto the Macy's marquee where he sat on a golden throne, and was crowned King of the Kiddies. The parade was a huge success, with over 250,000 people attending, so Macy's vowed to do it every year. However, perhaps the most famous element we associate with the parade today wasn't present the first year, or for several years after. There were no big old balloons. Instead, they actually borrowed animals from the Central Park Zoo. Not circus animals that were trained to march in parades, just random elephants, donkeys, camels, tigers, and bears.
Oh my!
They were just taken for a 6-mile walk from Harlem all the way to the Macy's store in Herald Square. It's amazing that there were no real incidents with the wild animals, but the roaring and the growling did scare the kids. So for the 1927 parade, Macy's decided to replace the animals with something else. So for a replacement idea, they again turned to Tony Sarg.
I'm bringing the party to you.
I don't think it's possible to overemphasize that I am talking about Tony Sarg, the father of North American puppetry, and not Tony Stark, the father of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, as I mentioned, Sarg was known for his puppetry, specifically marionettes, and he had the idea to make big puppets for the parade that were controlled by rods from the bottom instead of by strings from the top. Initially, they were just filled with regular air, but then he had the idea of making them even bigger and filling them with helium. That way, they could be these massive balloons that the whole crowd could look up and see. The first balloons were sort of generic, goldfish, tiger, elephant, and something called wobbly head. And while they put a lot of thought into planning and making the balloons, they must not have had a plan for what to do with them when the parade was over, because they just let them go. Yeah, and then they floated away and popped. By the next year, it was decided to add licensed characters to the parade. And controversially, the first character was not Felix the Cat, as is often stated, even by Macy's themselves. The first licensed characters were from the comic strip The Katzenjammer Kids. Yeah, I've never heard of them either, and maybe that's why they don't get mentioned a lot. Felix the Cat wouldn't show up until 3 years later in 1932. Between 1928 and 1932, they had a very interesting strategy for the balloons at the end of the parade. Instead of just letting them go, they learned their lesson. They put a slow leak in them and then let them go. Yeah, huge improvement. They anticipated they would float around for about a week before they deflated, and Macy's offered a $100 reward to anyone who returned the balloons to Macy's. Now, $100 was almost $2,000 in today's money, so people were all about retrieving these balloons. People would get in tug-of-war fights that ended up ripping the balloons. But Macy's didn't pull the plug on releasing the balloons until 1932, after back-to-back years of balloon incidents involving airplanes. In 1931, a pilot, Clarence Duncan Chamberlain, with his plane full of sightseers, saw Macy's balloon floating by. One of the sightseers told him that he should try and catch it with the plane. Amazingly, he listened, he snagged it with the wing, and landed safely. Despite this, Macy's issued a warning the next year to pilots, don't try and catch these balloons with your planes. But unfortunately, the next year, in 1932, a 22-year-old student pilot named Annette Gibson was having a flying lesson with her instructor, Hugh Copeland, when she saw the 60-foot Tomcat balloon and decided to fly the plane straight into it. I could tell you the story, but luckily we have the totally real audio from the flight recorder that totally existed and is actually totally genuine and not made up at all.
Okay, Annette, you're doing great, and I don't at all regret missing Thanksgiving with my family for this.
Hey, look. That's one of the Macy's Christmas Parade balloons.
Oh yeah, it looks like the Tomcat balloon.
You know, I heard they give you $100 if you return those balloons to Macy's.
Yeah, I think I heard something about that. Wait, what are you doing?
I'm gonna grab the balloon.
That's a horrible idea. No, it's gonna hit the left wing.
Got it. Wait, what's happening?
We're going into a tailspin.
Okay, I'll turn off the engines.
What?
That way, we won't catch fire when we crash.
Are you kidding me? Move over!
You're starting the engines again?
Yeah, hopefully I have time to pull out of this dive.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry, Balloon Kamikaze. You don't get to comment on what's crazy.
This is 1932. Kamikaze pilots won't be a thing until the 1940s.
Not now!
Well, that was interesting.
I never wanted to be a flight instructor. I wanted to be a lumberjack, but Ma said it was too dangerous.
Okay, the dialogue's made up, but all of that stuff actually happened. She actually flew the plane into the balloon, got it caught on the wing, got into a tailspin, turned off the engines, and the instructor had to turn them back on and save the plane before it landed. So, Macy's took the hint and stopped releasing balloons after that. Then, in 1934, for the parade's 10th anniversary, they changed the name from the Macy's Christmas Parade to the Macy's Santa Claus Parade. And they decided to add some more famous characters, specifically the Three Little Pigs, the Big Bad Wolf, Pluto, and the Big Cheese himself, Mickey Mouse. But the journey of Mickey from Toon to Balloon was an interesting one. Tony didn't design it on his own. He got help from Walt Disney himself. They went through four different iterations before they approved the four-story Mickey balloon. It was sent off to Goodyear, the tire, and of course Blimp people, who actually made all the parade's balloons from 1928 until 1980. The balloon was created and put in a storage room, but a few days later, a fire broke out and destroyed the balloon. Goodyear had to scramble to recreate it in time for the parade. They were able to do it in just under a week, and Mickey was able to make his debut in the parade.
Mickey has a date at a big parade, so they're painting up his bright spots and feeding him with helium. Very soon now, he'll be all puffed up with his own importance. There's no doubt that at the Santa Claus show, he'll be right on his feet.
The next year, they finally changed the name to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and they've called it that ever since. Now, from 1942 to 1944, rubber was a valuable commodity because of World War II, and the parade was shut down. That's why this year is the 98th parade, even though it's the 100th anniversary of the parade. Now, during the war, some of the older balloons were even recycled to make supplies for the war effort. After the war ended and the parade resumed, it got a big boom in popularity thanks to a hit movie.
Could you be Santa Claus? Have you had any experience?
Oh, a little.
Oh, please, you've got to help me out.
Madam, I am not in the habit of substituting for spurious Santa Clauses. No.
Oh, please.
No, I... Oh, well, the children mustn't be disappointed. All right, I'll do it.
Oh, good, thank you. Come on, right this way.
Yes, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was featured prominently in the beginning of the 1947 classic Miracle on 34th Street. It's fitting that the movie also highlights the rivalry between the Macy's and Gimbel's department stores because Gimbel's actually threw a Thanksgiving parade 4 years before Macy's did. In 1920, the first Gimbel's Thanksgiving Day Parade was held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and had a similar setup to the Macy's Parade. Floats and folks in costumes marching down a street, capped off by Santa Claus ascending a ladder at the end. Even though Gimbel's went out of business in 1986, the parade is still going to this day and is now sponsored by a local ABC station and Dunkin' Donuts. It's actually the oldest Thanksgiving Day parade in America. But for some reason, the Macy's parade still gets all the national attention. I guess it just pays to have your parade designed by Tony Sarg.
I can do this all day.
Okay, first of all, I said Tony Sarg, not Tony Stark. Second of all, that was Steve Rogers, not Tony Stark. And third of all, neither Iron Man nor Captain America have appeared as balloons in the parade. But their buddy Spider-Man has. In fact, with his appearance with a brand new balloon in this year's parade, Spider-Man will be tied with Big Bird at 8th place for most appearances in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with 19 appearances. The full top 10 is Diary of a Wimpy Kid and the Pillsbury Doughboy tied for 10th place with 15 appearances each. Then in 9th place is Garfield with 18 appearances. We already know Spidey and Big Bird are tied for 8th place. Then Mickey Mouse and SpongeBob SquarePants are tied for 7th place with 20 parades each. Kermit the Frog says hi-ho to 6th place with 22 appearances. Smokey the Bear and Sinclair's Dinosaur are tied for 5th place with 23 parades each. In 4th place, it's Pikachu with 24 appearances. Rocky and Bullwinkle take 3rd spot with 26 appearances. Ronald McDonald is ba-da-ba-ba-love in 2nd place with 30 appearances, but the runaway number one character that's appeared as a balloon in the most parades is Snoopy, with appearances at 43 parades, including this year. But that's not to say there haven't been issues with the balloons over the years. The balloons are not immune to winds, and at the end of the day, they are balloons. And we know what happens when a balloon gets punctured, right? Like in 1956, when the Mighty Mouse balloon hit a street sign and deflated right in front of the crowd. In 1957, it was dumping down rain at the parade, and water collected in the Popeye balloon's hat. The extra weight threw the balloon handlers off course, and eventually the balloon ended up dumping gallons and gallons of cold water over some spectators in the crowd. But don't worry. They totally learned their lesson, unless you count the fact that a few years later, the exact same thing happened with the Donald Duck balloon's hat. Jumping ahead to 1985, the Raggedy Ann balloon hit a lamppost and sent the lamppost crashing into the street. Luckily, no one was hurt. Then in 1991, the Kermit the Frog balloon hit a tree and his whole head deflated, but he completed the rest of the parade headless. I'm sure that was not at all traumatizing for any kids watching. In 1993, another lamppost incident, this time with Sonic the Hedgehog, losing an arm and crashing into the lamppost. A police officer and a 10-year-old girl were injured, and one woman was, quote, overwhelmed with helium fumes. They were all treated at the scene and were eventually okay, but I'm sure it was very serious at the time. But it had to have sounded silly.
Oh no, the Sonic balloon seems to have injured that girl and broken that police officer's shoulder. Wait, why does my voice sound like this? I don't feel so good. I may faint.
The worst year was probably 1997, when the wind was blowing particularly strong. The Pink Panther hit a lamppost and lurched forward and was smothering a woman and her child. Police officers had to stab the balloon in the tail to deflate it and get it off the pair. Then, the Quick Bunny's ear caught on a streetlight and tore the bunny's entire hat and ear off. Then Barney the Dinosaur got a rip in its side and started shedding pieces of itself all over the crowd until its tail exploded and it too had to be stabbed and deflated. And worst of all, the Cat in the Hat hit a light post and actually knocked it over into the crowd, injuring 4 people, including one who was put into a coma for a month after the incident. After that, there were new restrictions on balloon sizes and rules about when the balloons should be grounded due to wind speed. And in fact, the balloons were grounded in 2019 due to high winds. The balloons are actually inflated the day before the parade in front of the American Natural History Museum. It's become an event in and of itself, as the public is allowed to walk among the inflating balloons. Now, because of this parade, Macy's is actually the second biggest consumer of helium in the entire country, behind only the U.S. government. What's amazing is that the balloons are crewed almost entirely by volunteers. Each balloon needs a crew of 50 to 100 crew people, depending on the size. To be a volunteer, you have to be a Macy's employee or be recommended by one. You also need to be at least 18 years old, weigh at least 125 pounds, and be in good physical condition. Once selected, you have to go through a multi-day balloon handling training course at Columbia University. Each balloon crew has 2 pilots and a captain. One pilot walks backwards a block ahead of the main group and relays directions to the other pilot, who is right next to the captain, who gives signals to the rest of the crew via his whistle. And the balloons are the most visually recognizable part of the parade, but there's so much more going on. Like this year, in addition to the balloons, which includes Minnie Mouse appearing for the very first time as a balloon, but the parade will also feature 22 floats, 15 novelty and heritage inflatables, 11 marching bands, 700 clowns, and 10 performance groups. One notable staple of the parade is the Radio City Rockettes, who've been a part of the parade since 1957.
Well, on deck, we have a crowd favorite, the most famous precision dance company in America. If you are in New York during the holidays, be sure to take in their amazing show. Of course, it's the Christmas Spectacular, starring the Radio City Rockettes.
So now, performing their brand new finale, Christmas Lights, here are the stars of the Christmas Spectacular, the high-kicking Radio City Rockettes.
To me, I am playing a clip of dancers on my audio-only podcast. Well, trust me, they're, like, totally kicking. A lot. You can check them out when it's on NBC in a few days. I know what my family will be doing when the parade is on. Hey, James, you want to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Actually, Dad, I'm kind of in the middle of watching something else right now, so...
You're just staring at that wall we painted.
Yeah, I'm just watching it dry.
Is that your way of saying you'd rather watch paint dry than watch the parade?
Bingo!
Yeah, my family is not here for the parade. I've tried putting it on multiple years, but it captures no one's interest. In fairness, I don't have any memories of watching it growing up. But then again, I spent so many Thanksgivings in Disneyland, there was no way I would sit in the hotel watching a parade on TV when I could be in line for Space Mountain. But this is one of the times that I can acknowledge that something doesn't have to resonate with me personally for it to be a huge cultural event that means a lot to so many people. Millions of people watch the parade every year. Last year, they set a ratings record with 28.5 million viewers. This year, for the 100th anniversary, they'll see performances from the aforementioned Rockettes to Idina Menzel, Kylie Minogue, Jennifer Hudson, and so many more. There'll also be floats from the Disney Cruise Line, Sesame Street, and of course, the man himself, who started this thing 100 years ago. The man who's here to kick off the Christmas season, Santa Claus.
What? I'm not sure. Kenny, what do you think?
I don't know, Willard.
Is it possible?
Could it be?
Should we dust off the chimney and clear the runway? I mean, is it time for that guy in the suit, the beard? Holy mackerel, we've been waiting for that moment. The sleigh has just touched down from the North Pole.
And Willard, when that happens, it can only mean one thing. The holiday season has officially begun. And just listen to those kids. Nothing can compare to the excitement of seeing Santa waving from his sleigh. And of course, we have the reindeer team to thank for Santa's very smooth landing.
Everybody. Before we go, we're going to keep this Muppet-vember especially Muppety with our final segment, Who Sang It Best? Every so often, we like to find two artists or groups who've done a recording of the same Christmas song and pit them against each other, and you vote on your favorite. It's all in good Christmas fun and really just gives us an excuse to listen to a little more Christmas music. Since I need more Muppets than ever this year, I thought we'd compare two Muppet performances of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Let's meet our contestants! In the red corner, it's the two most famous roommates on Sesame Street. One loves his rubber ducky and the other loves his bottle cap collection, but we love them both. It's Bert and Ernie!
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Thank you, Bert.
Let your heart be light.
From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
And in the It's Not Easy Being Green corner, it's the first Muppet to reach national stardom on the Jimmy Dean Show before becoming the Muppet Show's piano player. Singing a duet with the musical icon John Denver, it's Rolf the Dog.
Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more.
That's nice.
Through the years we all will be together. if the fates allow.
Head on over to CantWaitForChristmasPod.com to hear full versions of the songs and cast your vote. Then, tune into our December episode to learn who sang it best. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you so much to my wife and two sons for being guest stars on today's show. Be sure to head to our show notes for the link to that TikTok reindeer pancake tutorial I mentioned earlier. And you can also vote on our Muppet-tastic Who Sang It Best. Speaking of the Muppets, you'll also find a link to the show notes to a fellow Muppet lover and excellent Christmas podcaster, Mike, and his Advent Calendar House podcast. If you want to keep Muppet-vember going a little bit into December, be sure to tune into the Advent Calendar House when we talk about Mr. Willoughby's Christmas tree. Okay, we'll be back early next month because it's December, so we're not going to wait till the 25th. We'll be down your Christmas podcast chimney on December 15th with the next episode. So until then, you believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2024.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, CantWaitForChristmasPod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are @ChristmasPod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
Welcome to the outtakes!
It's November 25th, 2024, and that means there's only 1 month left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll take a look at the event. No, we won't. Forget it. The show's over. Goodbye. It's November 25th, 2024, and that means there's only 1 month left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll take a look back at the most... What? Oh my gosh. I gotta put glasses on. I gotta put some glasses on. In case you're having trouble visualizing this, I did put a link to It's Winter Wonderland. In case you're having trouble visualizing this, I'll put a link to It's Winter Wonderland. The fact that they have no spaces in their username means I'm trying to say their name with no spaces, and it's turning into a catastrophe! So please, welcome to the Christmas Cave, all the way from the Advent Calendar House podcast. A podcast was on a next line, so I thought I was just going to say Advent Calendar House, and so I thought I was going to go straight from house to Mike, but then I read one line down and saw a podcast, but my mouth was ready to say Mike, so it sounded bad. In fact, it was called the Christmas Parade for the first decade of its existence. I never wanted to be a flight instructor. I always wanted to be... What? What does he want to be? Listeners, I wish you were here to help me write the end of this punchline. I'm extemporaneizing because I don't like the line I wrote here. I want to write something different. I never wanted to be a flight instructor. I wanted to be a lumberjack, but Ma said it was too dangerous. I think that's stupid enough to be funny. All right, we did it. Yeah! That sounds weird if there's no context for why I'm making those grunting noises. I'm pulling out of an air dive, in case you're wondering. I didn't have Chipotle. Boom! Catching strays on the Christmas podcast, Chipotle! I guess it pays to have your parade designed by Tony Stark. Oh, I said Stark! Oh, man! I messed up the joke that I'm trying to do! I guess it just pays to have your parade designed by Tony Sarg. I can't emphasize it too much, then it doesn't make sense that someone didn't hear me. So this was the first Muppetvember where there was actually a Muppet reference in every single segment of the show. There was a Muppet reference in the intro, there was a Muppet reference in Need a Little Christmas Now, of course. Mike did a great Muppet reference with his Five Golden Things. There was some blatant and also subtle references to the Muppets in the Thanksgiving Day Parade segment. And, of course, the Who Sang It Best segment was all about the Muppets, and even the outro I made sure to mention Muppets. Muppet 3D may be going away, but they'll never take Muppetvember from us. Never.